KLN FM 88.1. Always testing the waters. Your first alternative community radio station in Toronto.
My name is Thomas Mafumo. When I'm in Toronto, I listen to CKLN 88.1 FM.
To fail. Some say the eternals are ready to dance.
It's just one ant.
Yeah, but they're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
How about this?
Unlawful ascent.
Across this magnificent mall, and why a man whose father less than 60 years ago might not have been served at a local restaurant can now stand before you to take a most sacred oath.
We are a decentralized, nonviolent resistance movement which seeks to restore the rule of law and fight back against the organized criminal class. 0.1% of the population has consolidated wealth in aggressive and in fashion and launched an all-out economic war against 99.9% of the population. We are not affiliated with either wing of the two-party oligarchy. We seek an end to the corrupted two-party system by ending the campaign finance and lobbying racket. Above all, we aim to break up a global banking cartel centered at the Federal Reserve, the International Monetary Fund, Bank of International Settlements and World Bank. We demand the primary dealers within the Federal Reserve banking system be broken up and held accountable for rigging markets and destroying the global economy, effective immediately. As a first sign of good faith, we demand Ben Bernanke step down as Federal Reserve Chairman until our demands are met and a rule of law is restored. We will engage in a relentless campaign of nonviolent, peaceful, civil disobedience. In our next communication, we will announce Operation Empire State Rebellion. Operation Empire State Rebellion. Expect us.
In a time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine won't be prevented from working at all.
CKLN 88.1 FM in Toronto. My name is Shannon. This is Plunder News. Where each and every week from 8:30 till 9:30, we plunder the news. International, local, just about anything that's of interest to the, alternative news broadcast situation. This week I was going to get into an in-depth piece. I was trying to write a 50 ways to lose my leader. And I was deep into it for many hours last night and failed to come up with a comprehensive document. Then, of course, I found something, but now I haven't had a chance to review it. Anyway, we're going to go back this show and go back and pick up a few pieces that I didn't cover the last few weeks. And I'm back next week with a special 50 ways to leave our leader. Or 50 reasons, I should say, to leave our current prime minister in the ditch where he belongs. Anyway, we're going to go on with a few odd things and some interesting materials. You'll see what's coming at you. And stay tuned with us on Plunder News till 9:30 this morning on CKLN 88.1 FM in Toronto. Thank you. right. That's a track entitled Archangel from a band called Burial out of the UK, a dubstep pioneer on the ambient side, of course. And you let that run in the background a bit. All right, we're going to get into this first piece here. This one's called Mission Creep and the Conflict in Libya. 50 years ago, a coalition of French, British, and Israeli troops invaded the Egypt of Gamal Abdel Nasser in order to seize control of the Suez Canal zone. The U.S. stood mutely by. The coalition was forced to retreat when the Canadian External Affairs Minister Lester Pearson worked through the Security Council to establish the first UN peacekeeping force and deploy it to the central canal zone under its Canadian commander, General Burns. As a result of these events, Anthony Eden was forced to resign as British Prime Minister. France and Israel ran for cover, and Lester Pearson was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. Half a century later, Canada has joined a coalition including France, Britain, Italy, and the U.S. to destroy the Libyan air defenses and bombard Libyan ground forces in support of the westward advance of civilian rebel forces armed to the teeth. Well, Russia has declared the coalition activities go well beyond UN Resolution 1973, calling for a no-fly zone and the protection of civilians. In an exquisite doublespeak, Barack Obama says the U.S. policy that Gaddafi must go, but that the U.S. military intervention is not armed or not aimed at regime change. There does not seem to be any agreement among the coalition partners about what will define the success of the mission. France certainly seems to be aiming for a front row seat in an oil-rich post-Gaddafi Libya by granting diplomatic recognition, usually acknowledging a government's control of the majority of a nation's territory, to the Provincial Committee in Benghazi, whose makeup and future policies are completely unknown. It was in just such a rebellion as this that the dictatorship of Gaddafi was born. In the past, Margaret Thatcher and George H.W. Bush used military adventures to distract their electorates from their low approval rating. I wonder if France's Nicolas Sarkozy and Italy's Silvio Berlusconi are using their playbook. Those who ignore history are doomed to repeat it. And I had to read that just as an example of what's sort of lacking in the UN mission this year. History seems to be, I don't know. This piece of history is very interesting and, provides a little bit of a lesson for some of the people who wonder what should happen. A few things that seem to jump out at me. There's a bizarre combination of events. It's just wanted to mention them quick. And first off, there was absolutely no discussion, no debate, real debate, in the House of Commons regarding Canada's entry into this mission, other than an apologetic opposition bringing it up as sort of we don't want to criticize the media, the military, so let's just wish our boys good luck and express a little regret the fact that we have to send them to war again. And that was pretty much it. And it just sort of strikes me as, where is our sovereignty? Where is Canada's position? We seem to have been voted into this by the Security Council. We're not even in the Security Council, except, of course, now we're in this mission. Strikes me as kind of odd. And then, of course, there's the absence of the traditional UN peacekeeping activity. This is a license to bomb, which just seems to me a little bit overkill. If they wanted to solve the situation, there was probably other avenues. We've been into that in the past. But the most bizarre thing, which I can't even figure out yet, is this Resolution 1973, the UN Responsibility to Protect document It's a recently enacted law or action or whatever in the UN. It comes courtesy of Canada, in that we introduced this policy. I don't know exactly how or why, I'm not sure. But this, how do you call it, responsibility to protect doctrine is a Canadian document introduced post Iran, I believe, and actually Darfur, post Darfur, in that the United Nations sat by and Darfur turned into a genocide, and there was a lot of regret among the nations as to why UN did not take action to prevent genocide in Darfur. And this this responsibility to protect doctrine was enacted in the UN as a response to preventing genocide. And when this is now the first time that this responsibility to protect doctrine has been invoked internationally, and these are the results. It's a bombing mission with an open ended, and again, just like the U.S. or the Russia states, it's pushed the boundaries in that the U.N. has even pretty much lost responsibility of this mission and transferred it over to NATO. So to me, it just sits there as a justification of a war and preventing the U.S. from having to go through, or say France and Britain for that matter, having to go through the normal channels, which you would reminds me of the Iraq war, when they had to come up with this proof of weapons of mass destruction issue, which ended up to be a lie. But of course, it was enough to, at the time, to push the UN into sanctioning their invasion of Iraq. And now we have this more improved 1973 document, Responsibility to Protect, and it actually enables the Security Council to sort of circumvent the UN general procedures and just go directly to what they want. And that's actually the part of the Security Council, just part of it, the NATO side. All right, so I'm going to stop talking about that. But one other little thing. This one surprised me, and I haven't figured this out yet. But the Harper, I don't want to say the government, conservative government, Harper there, actually does not support Resolution 1973. They don't believe in this responsibility to protect responsibility. Except, of course, they sat idly by when it was invoked and actually participated. So it's just kind of odd that the Harper government, the ones that are spending on the military, are opposed to responsibility to protect, but actually are supporting it anyway. It's kind of weird. So I have to look into that. If anybody has any information on that, perhaps you could email me at plundernews@bell.net. Any comments or suggestions, please do contact me at plundernews@bell.net. All right, we're going to get into this piece. This one's Gerald Celente on Alex Jones from a few weeks ago, maybe just a week ago. And we'll see how much. We're just going to play a little bit of it. Celente tends to go on in a predictable manner. But he does have a few points here, and it does relate to my Libya conflict discussion that I just brought up here. So we'll just drop a little piece, and we'll be back on Plunder News, 88.1 FM in Toronto. By the way, we are posting these shows now. One-hour shows will be available at radioforall.net. And also, we're going to try and post it on YouTube. Search words are Plunder News, CKLN 88.1 FM. And the date, of course. You can so you can download this show at radioforall.net within the next 24 hours. And you can also check out a videotape. I'm actually taping this one on the video, and that's available at on the YouTube. All right, your Plunder News. It's 8:56, April 10th, 2011. My name is Shannon. And we're covering and plundering the news.
Now, bringing up Gerald Celente to break this down and to give us his take on the war, all of it. It's great to have you here with us, my friend.
As we look at the war, it's what we had said it was going to be. The first great war of the 21st century has begun. And there could be no doubt about it.
You said that 2 years ago. How did you know?
Well, because the global Ponzi scheme is collapsing. What happened was when the bailout bubble, the bailouts began in 2008, we said when the bailout bubble bursts, the next thing they'll do is take you to war. It's history repeating itself. The song is the same. The tune is different. Figure it out. 1929, the Panic of 08. The Great Depression, the greatest recession. The only reason the recession hasn't turned worse in the United States is because of all of that digital money that they keep pumping into the system to keep the banks afloat. And then you look at the currency wars going on today. Hey, guess what? They went on back then. The next thing is trade wars and then real wars. So we're looking at what's going on over in the Middle East and North Africa. This is also going on, actually, in the UK. You just saw, what, 500,000 people take to the streets last week. The only difference is, back in the European countries, as they're getting shafted, they're still living under the illusion that they'll be able to change it at the ballot box. They still believe in that. But over in these other countries, when you have dictatorial, autocratic, or monarchs ruling, they know that the only chance is to overthrow that government.
And the globalists, by increasing food prices via dollar devaluation, knew the rebellions were starting, so they started the dominoes going themselves to try to put their new people in. And now in Egypt, the new government has banned all protest. What do you make of this, Gerald Celente? Fox News, Al-Qaeda leader dined at the Pentagon just months after 9/11 while he was on the most wanted list. Now Anwar al-Awlaki's in the news saying Arab revolts, a boost for Al-Qaeda, that it's great what's happening in Libya, and the CIA-trained leader of the rebels admits the core of their troops are Al-Qaeda. So how do they have it both ways? Al-Qaeda bad, give up all your rights so they'll get you in the night. They're hiding under every bridge. They're hiding in your closet, under your bed, under your table, your coffee table. But at the same time, Al-Qaeda good. Look, am I an extremist that I don't like Al-Qaeda? Are we wrong to not? Who is Al-Qaeda?
Well, according to General Petraeus, there are only, what, 100 of them left in Afghanistan. And what do we got, over 100,000 troops over there? You talk about overkill. But, hey, they still can't find Osama bin Laden. No, they're going to use, you know the story, they keep using fear to keep the military-industrial complex alive. Look, I have to read this, Alex. Unfortunately, I had to watch all of President Obama's speech the other night, because I need to know every detail that they're talking about. It's very painful to watch this show on the road. But here's what he said. I've made it clear that I will never hesitate to use our military swiftly, decisively, and unilaterally when necessary to defend our people, our homeland. So far, that's not too bad. Our allies and our core interests. Since when did this enter into the picture? So in effect, he's abrogated the Constitution. He's unilaterally decided that whenever he believes what a core interest is, like flourishing fields of broccoli in Libya, not their sweet crude oil, then it's an excuse to intervene. Or our allies? What allies? Hey, how about that ally over there in Bahrain? You know, that guy that's killing his people? Don't talk about that one. Why not? Hey, couldn't be because the Fifth Fleet is there. Alex, they're getting us into war. The whys, the hows, and the ifs really don't make much of a difference because the story is going to change like that. How about this for a change of script really quick? Go back 2 weeks ago. Why did we get involved in Libya? I remember why. They said because the Arab League asked us. Oh, you mean the Arab Little League? Where are they? Oh, Qatar's sending a couple of airplanes. Qatar. Hey, those are the people that own Al Jazeera, right? Yeah, that's right. And haven't they been fomenting this war in Libya? Yeah. And why? Hey, couldn't be because in all of the public eye, Gaddafi and the emir over there had it out at an Arab League meeting. So we're getting dragged into this stuff. And one more thing, and I want to make this really clear. You know how you hear all the time, you know, if only women were in charge, we wouldn't be going to war. I just read in the New York Times that toilet paper a record, as they would say in the Bronx, that the three people pushing this war after the U.S. military didn't want to get into it in Libya were none other than Hillary Clinton, Samantha Powers, who's the national security, and Rice over there at the ambassador to the U.N. These are the three women that pushed this war. So I'm tired of hearing this stuff that if only women were in charge. So when we're looking at this war, let's understand what it's really all about. It's about the same reason why we're in Afghanistan and in Iraq. All of the precious minerals and natural resources, pipeline routes through Afghanistan, and Iraq sitting on what? The second largest oil reserves in the world. And it's the same thing for Libya. People could care less about Libya if it wasn't about the oil, just like they don't care. As we're speaking now, the hypocrisy cannot be clearer. 450 people killed in the Ivory Coast. A million are fleeing their homes as a civil war is breaking out. Hey, Obama, how about those human rights?
Well, kinda Gerald.
Gerald,
look.
All right, apologies to women there. It sounded like a generalization, but he was just picking on three. I tend to be the ones pushing Obama to be a man. Excuse me. All right, there's my sexist comment for the year. Apologies out all around. That was Gerald Celente on Alex Jones. The first great war of the 21st century has begun. And it is conspicuous. You know, there are real humanitarian missions available out there. And they select this one. Of course, they select it with this new 1973 doctrine, I should say, UN resolution. Now the UN now works for the military-industrial complex. And the security, the General Council has been negated due to the selective choice of the Security Council. All right, meaning that Russia and China abstained. All right, this very easily could be the beginning of the Third World War. Perhaps Afghanistan was or Iraq was, but this is the extension of and the of the basically the never-ending war, the one that's been put in place to keep Russia and or China out of the picture as the world leader, as the United States spends itself into debt and death, i.e. the government just escaped being shut down on Friday night in the 11th hour, literally. They voted to keep their country afloat by, or their government afloat, by cutting an odd $40 billion off the budget, allowing some funds to be made available to keep government going. And I guess those politicians who had to vote in their jobs, right, their jobs of military industrial taking over the world, right. Okay, that was Gerald Celente. So you're listening to Plunder News. It's 9:06. My name is Shannon. That was the mission creep in Libya. I'm just going to jump into one quick piece here. This is local. Canada's largest credit card companies and banks are facing a proposed class action suit that alleges they conspired to fix the prices charged to merchants who accept credit card payments. Mary Watson, a furniture store owner in Vancouver, filed a suit Tuesday, last week actually, in the Supreme Court of British Columbia on behalf of all merchants that accept Visa and MasterCard. The suit, which alleges such payments cost merchants $5 billion a year, comes amid growing legal and regulatory challenges to the rules governing how merchants can accept purchases made with credit cards. Despite the introduction last year of a voluntary federal code of conduct for the debit and credit card industry, Kelly said, it has done nothing to rein in merchant fees. The lawsuit alleges that merchants are forced to raise prices for all customers to cover the cost of transactions with premium cards, said Ward Branch, a partner of Branch McMaster LLP. The system is bad for Canadian merchants, Canadian consumers, and for Canadian economy as whole. The lawsuit did not state a dollar amount, but does seek general and punitive damages, as well as an injunction blocking the defendants from agreeing with each other to raise, fix, or stabilize their fees. So just to summarize that one, there's a fee associated with the merchant must pay to these credit card companies to transact the money off your credit card into the merchant's bank account. It's about 2-odd, 3-4%. And with the premium cards, it's higher to cover the rewards programs and stuff. So now everybody has to pay higher prices at the shop to cover these higher fees for the premium cards, never mind the regular cards. Meaning that if you walk in with cash, you're typically paying 4-5% more than you would have if there was no credit cards available. So just in response, I would suggest that if you are paying cash, and I do suggest you do pay cash, you will feel better. You won't run up your debt and have to deal with that hangover later. Paying cash for things in the store is probably the most sensible way to buy things, meaning you had the money in your pocket so you can afford it. Makes you feel better. Anyways, you should ask for a discount. Yes, a discount on cash, 4-5%, due to the fact that these merchants are marking up their product to cover the fees of a credit card. The shop owners can't actually charge the fee to credit card purchasers, but they could offer a discount to cash payers, if you follow me. There's these rules that they can't make that fee known to the actual credit card purchasers. All right, so we're going to move on from that. It's 9:09. My name is Shannon. You're listening to Plunder News. We're available on 88.1 FM CKLN Toronto, on the CKLN FM radio website, and on 947 Rogers cable box. You can also catch this show now. It's available for download on radioforall.com, radioforall.net, actually. And you can catch it on YouTube. I should be able to post it there. All right, 9:10 now. And we're going to get into this next piece. One more piece here, and then we'll be back on Plunder News, 80.1 FM in Toronto.
Welcome back to the Kaiser Report. A special treat. I've got David DeGraw standing by in New York for a special exclusive interview. He is the author of The Economic Elite versus the People of the United States.
This is what Americans really need to understand that they're not getting through their television set, okay? Trillions of dollars in stolen criminal activity. I mean, this is straight up mafia rule.
This is a financial terrorism network. Our country has been attacked economically by a well-organized economic elite. They have seized both leaders of the Democratic and Republican parties. They have seized the U.S. Treasury, the stock market, the Federal Reserve. This is an organized criminal operation that is bent on destroying the middle class of America.
Statistically, factually, that this is occurring, we've been attacked. Billionaires in the United States increased their aggregate wealth 50% during this economic crisis. These are billionaires increasing their aggregate wealth 50%. Meanwhile, 50% of U.S. children are using a food stamp during their childhood. 50 million Americans are living in poverty. Right now, we have the highest poverty rate in the industrialized world. Meanwhile, record-breaking bonuses, record-breaking profits. I mean, this is sick and twisted. This is a financial terrorism network. 30 million Americans are in need of employment. Right now in the United States, we have the largest inequality of wealth in our nation's history between the economic top 1% and the remaining 99% of the population. It's the big six banks, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, Citigroup, and the Federal Reserve. I mean, right here, we have the concentration of power like we've never seen in the United States or in the global economy. Very much a design of the IMF. The IMF has carried out economic imperialism throughout the world, and the result through IMF efforts is to get rid of the middle class. So there's been this all-out coordinated effort by the richest people on the planet to eliminate the middle class. They don't want the middle class to deal with anymore, and that's what's unfolding right now globally. This is why Americans think that the system is rigged, that, you know, there was a financial coup in this country. I mean, how come we're not hearing racketeering charges filed? You know, RICO laws certainly apply to this case. We need to put some fear in politicians' eyes, because if you look at the politicians, they look at the big banks and they say, all right, well, they're going to fund our campaigns, and if we go against them, they're going to fund our competitor and we'll be out of office. They have no fear of the American people. So we need to start organizing ourselves, because if we're waiting for the government to do something to fix our economic problems, it's not happening. So we need to organize amongst ourselves, start taking it to the streets, start pressuring members of Congress. Well, I've been talking to people across the political spectrum, whether you're a progressive, a libertarian, a Tea Party member, a Coffee Party member. What we have to do is, being that we are attacked as 99% of the country, we have to organize on common ground. We have to get together and form this 99% movement, because the economic elite who are attacking us, they view us all in the same category, okay? We are 99% of the country that is under attack. We are 99% of the population. If we can get our act together here, we can take back this country. We can restore a rule of law and, like, real democracy in this country once again. We can do this, and there's simple, obvious ways to do it.
Why, David DeGraw, are you even still in the United States? It's a dangerous place run by lunatics, getting worse. I mean, you're a smart guy. Why not emigrate?
Well, you know, my family's here. I grew up here, and I'm, you know, trying to hold my ground, because, you know, I'm naive enough to believe that, you know, we can have a revolution and we can get rid of this banking cartel. But we're definitely headed into a lot of trouble here. But, you know, I'm trying to stand and fight, you know. I mean, I'm trying to start a movement, you know, to wake up people. That might sound naive, but, you know, it's either move away or stay here and try and fight these people. And that's what I'm trying to do. The task at hand is, can we wake up the U.S. people in time to stop this from happening? And it's a major monumental task. But, you know, if we don't do it within the next 2 years, you know, we're in trouble. There's no doubt about it. No question.
Could it be a new, could it be a new?
KLN 88.1 FM in Toronto. My name is Shannon. This is Plunder News. Fading out some remixed Archangel. This one from Phase One. The original artist, Burial. Featuring that piece of music on our show today. As we like to do, provide a little entertainment with our news. Yeah, it sounds a little counterproductive, but hey, might as well do everything you can to make it interesting, because of course it's not your standard TV make them fear little bits of sort of, how do you, it's almost like, how do you put it, you're almost like you don't have a memory. These things are just sort of reported, they're put out into the ether and then they're forgotten. Like, there's all kinds of bits of news that seem very relevant and should just sort of not go away. They should be repeated over and over again. I.e. things like Holchansky City's report, where documentation, you know, it's proven, courtesy of, by the way, census material data, that since the 70s, the middle class has been eroding, has been disappearing. The middle class is losing its, how do you call it? Its size, it's shrinking. In the 905 and the 416, there's rich people, well-to-do are going up, and the poor are going up in terms of numbers, but the middle class is going down. The middle class being the class of people that actually have the time, a little bit of time, to sort of speak up and get familiar with issues and perhaps organize and do something about, you know, our society, improve it for all people. Of course, the rich don't seem to care, and the poor, well, they take advantage of it when they can. They don't seem to, again, maybe they don't, you know, I shouldn't make generalizations, but you may not realize the importance of a middle class. And people like Stephen Harper take advantage of that sort of naivete of the poor and make some little things like tax cuts. Like, tax cuts do not help the poor. They don't, because you don't make enough money to benefit from a tax cut, poor. Think about it. Anyway, you should be voting, you know, for somebody other than that. All right. Should just go up here with my ambient. There it is. Okay, we're 9:20. It's Plunder News, CKLN 80.1 FM in Toronto. My name is Shannon. Did I make my point? I'm not sure. Anyway, we try to take a little more in-depth look at the meaning of the news at this time slot, 8:30 to 9:30. And we don't forget, and we will remember that, you know, the canceling of the census was, or the long-form census, I should say, is a foolhardy move. You don't even hear about it in the election. It's bizarre how the issues just seem to be, the real issues are swept under the board. They make these promises, and half of the promises they aren't going to keep. That goes across the board, right? It's all sort of fluffy air and like, go squeeze the babies and make faces with the babies. And try and shake hands and get your face, yeah, get some votes, right? Okay, so next week we're going to be back. We're going to be covering, we're going to have a special report, 50 Ways to Lose Your Leader. And our reasons to lose your leader is a special report coming courtesy of me. I'm compiling that as we speak. And of course, it's a rather daunting prospect for a guy who is a, you know, working class family person, doesn't have all that extra time to get these things as good as he likes them. So it's going to be next week for that. Definitely a special election report on 50 reasons to leave your leader. So in the meantime, we're going to sign off till next week for Plunder News. Go through our list of things to do. We need to establish a radical reawakening. We need to reestablish bottom-up participatory democracy. Here's a good one. What is generational sustainability? Actually, if you ask a politician, what about generational sustainability? And he'll say, what? I'm only elected for 4 years or 2 years or whatever. How can I think about generational sustainability? Well, you should. Organize generational sustained backup. Nuclear power is not generational sustainable, in that the nuclear waste that comes from the nuclear power plant will be around forever. Yes, I saw a report where, you know, the windmill generators would cover a huge area, almost the same size as the nuclear fallout area, but not as big. And that nuclear or solar panels would cover a slightly smaller area, say about the size the city of Toronto would have to be covered in solar panels to actually produce enough electricity to meet the demand of, say, one nuclear reactor. I don't see the problem with that. But, of course, how do you call it, manufacturing industry, the ones that are very greedily looking to get the contracts from Ontario Power Generation to build these nuclear reactors in Darlington, see this as a big problem and present that to this panel that just closed up in Curtis. By the way, the Ontario Power Generation was at a 3-week hearing in which public was allowed to make, how do you call it, deputations regarding the plan to build two new nuclear reactors in Ontario. So chances are that's going ahead, even though most of the speakers were negative to nuclear, and that there is no, you know, environmental assessment plan or anything really in place. And of course, they got us debating. It's bizarre. Anyway, that's another one. Nuclears, you got to question your Ontario politicians on that. It'd be interesting to see if there was a difference in parties, platforms on that. We'll find out. The Ontario election is coming up in the fall this year. Organize, decentralize. Decentralize, yes. Take matters into your own hands locally. Establish a local credit union or bank in a local credit union. Take your money out of those national banks. Find a local credit union. Don't forget, you vote every day with your money. Think about it. Use cash, not credit. You will feel better. On the sticker carrot front, you could spend $35 billion U.S. military every year, which is about half the world's spending on military. So put military spending worldwide at about $1.5 trillion, maybe more. That's your stick. Or you could feed the world for 50 to 100 billion a year. That's like one-tenth or less than one-tenth of the money to feed the world, provide education and housing for the poor. You know, which one would go further to preventing terrorism? By the way, the Board of Health is should be taking looking into the fluoridation issue in Toronto's water supply. So do contact counselors or even the clerk for the Toronto Board of Health to find out when fluoridation is up on the Ontario Board, or no, the Toronto Board of Health's agenda. I should check that out myself. I will be reporting back on that next week. Eat real food, mostly vegetables. Look for products with less than 5 ingredients, meaning if your product that you're looking there on the shelf has more than 5 ingredients, just leave it on the shelf. It'll be better for you. Select organic to avoid GMO. That's genetically modified organisms. Are actually quite prevalent these days. You have no way of knowing that you're eating a GMO. So I suggest organic. That seems to be the only way to avoid the GMO. You can contact me at plundernews@bell.net. Anything you need to hear more or less of, please do let me know. plundernews@bell.net. This show will be posted at radioforall.net. MP3 format, MP3 downloads of previous shows and documentation will be available at radioforall.net within the next 24 hours. You'll also find this piece at on the YouTube under Plunder News, CKLN 80.1 FM. Sources today are A99 or Anonymous 99's Operation Empire State Rebellion. We didn't do that one. And we're featuring the music of Dubstep Archangel. We had Gerald Celente with Alex Jones. And then we had a piece from Max Kaiser. Generally, our sources today on Plunder News, 88.1 FM. That's it for me. I'm signing off till next week. We're out of here at 9:30. We'll be back next week at 8:30. Have a good week. Don't forget, if you need to visit, if you need to go to the PC conservative, whatever, you got to register. That's the point.